Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Hourglass Bride. Today is a unique and a very special show. If you are here in the United States, you know today is Super Bowl Sunday, one of what is almost considered a national holiday here in the United States, where you know people gather around and they have parties everywhere, and people watch the Super Bowl, which is the number one watched show. It's also a time where a lot of relationships are tested, and a lot of women really aren't sure. A lot of people don't know the game. And if you followed any of my sports blogs, where I've taught women football and I have taught women a lot of the sports in the past, I thought today's show is so appropriate because our guest today is Robert Kaufman, and we are talking about honeymoon forever. We are talking about how to keep that love alive and that relationship alive. And Robert's so special. He is a writer. He's a psychotherapist. And he was born and raised, schooled in Los Angeles, which is where I'm from right now. And he began his writing career with a number of really sociopolitical and psychological newspapers and magazine articles. And then this was followed by his first novel, which I have read, and it's amazing, and I would love to talk to him about that, which is The Tropic of California. It's really a funny romantic comedy. And his experience, though, as a psychotherapist really gave him a unique insight into both humorous and the tragic side of human relationships. And he's really interested in human communication and love relationships. And now he has this nonfiction book, Honeymoon Forever, The Secrets to Lifelong Intimacy. I cannot think of a better topic for today. And he also works as a professional musician, and it's really interesting because Robert gave me his CD, and I cannot tell you how many times through the years people have given me CDs and music, and they said, this is something I've done, and I've thrown it in my car and my bag. And when I met him, I was so enthralled with who he was as a person, and his energy is just so dynamic that I couldn't wait to see how that would transcend into the music field. And so immediately, without me even being just a couple blocks away, I put his CD in my car, and I was blown away. And so why I think that's so incredibly special is because he understands harmony at a whole other level. He understands harmony, whether that be in music, whether that be in relationships. And so I'm thrilled and excited that he's coming on today and talking to us about relationships. He's now living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, but he works everywhere. And this is just such a special treat, especially on Super Bowl Sunday for those of us who are in America and those of us who are longing to make our relationships work. So, Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here. And, you know, my male ego is bursting right now. I just don't know how – I hope I can live up to all these incredible compliments, but I'm excited about being here today and discussing relationships and is there some kind of football game going on? Is that what you're saying?
You know, I've written so many books on sports for women and how to make relationships work and how to keep score and how to throw – even I even wrote a book on how to throw Super Bowl parties. And if you're interested in that, please email me and let me know. But it's interesting because so many women today are lost. They really are. They, you know, they're either home alone, or there is nothing to do, or they're home with the kids, or they are having parties in their house, or they're going to parties, but they don't know the game. And so it's so much more than a football game because they really don't know the game of relationships or how to make relationships work. And so I want to go back a little bit about your background. One of my favorite questions to ask is when you were a little boy, you know, when you were 6 or 7 mm-hmm. and kids want to be astronauts and firemen and doctor or whatever, did you know that you were going to help people in relationships, and did you know you were going to be a musician, and where were you inspired? What was your original draw?
Well, back then when I was so young, I don't really think I had any inkling that I was going to really help anybody at that particular point. I was just busy learning how to throw a baseball, you know, that kind of thing. But as I grew up, as I went through the years, and I learned what it was to be of service to others, I found I could do it through music, I could do it through my writing, through my counseling, and, you know, I kind of grew into it more and more and more. But when I was a little boy, I don't know, you know, I had to grow into it and experience things in life, and now I'm to the place where, you know, a lot of this is coming together for me. And the fun part is it is fun when I'm, you know, doing that service for others, and it helps me, and I just kind of fell into the, you know, relationship genre because it interests me, and I think it's a real hot topic, and it's what's happening today, you know.
I love that. You just kind of fell into it. When you look back, you're in the background. Well, that must be true when you hear polls. How did you end up going from, I mean, I know that you're a musician, and not only are you a musician, I have to tell you, I am so impressed. I mean, you are astounding. Oh. I can honestly say that if now I had to do a profile on this, like my favorite music and my favorite albums, you are absolutely up there as my very favorite. I mean, I had no idea when I met you. You never imagined that someone can be like life-altering, talented, and you really are. I mean, your music is the kind of music that just really dives deep into your soul. And I always think about that when you think about kids who study music and how they become good at math. But you understand harmony. You understand, you know, how different patterns work together and different vibrations work together. And I imagine that you just transcend that into your work as a therapist and in relationships.
Well, I think, you know, beyond even the harmony, you know, it's all about connection and whether we connect through music or our interpersonal relationships or with our families. Or, you know, whatever it might be, it's all about connection, and there's so many ways to manifest it and so many ways to express it. And, you know, I just have a lot of gratitude that I'm able to do a lot of these things kind of multi-areas of life. But it's all about connection and harmony and working together. You know, we're all wired, and that's what interests me. That's why relationships are very interesting, you know, topics for me to talk about, and how people find each other, how they make relationships work, how they make their partnerships work, and how they make love work.
Mm. That's such a great answer. It's such a great answer. And then honeymoon, I have to ask, honeymoon forever. First, I love the concept, and one of the things that we talk about on Hourglass Bride is really the happily ever after, and how the happily ever after is so different than what we imagine as little girls in our Cinderella dresses, but it's really about communication, and it's really about intimacy, and it's really about being on a roller coaster together and the life journey together and how all that is navigated. And so what in your consciousness decided to come up with Honeymoon Forever, and what was the thought, and then what were you hoping to share, and what do you teach through the process? I just love saying it. It's just something that people walk around the house go, Honeymoon Forever, Honeymoon Forever, Honeymoon Forever. But, I mean, how does it actually work?
Well, you know, it works. You know, in my book, you know, it's really about, you know, creative ways of solving a basic problem, and that's how we find true love, you know, not just with others, but within ourselves, you know, and how we recreate love on a daily basis, and how we relate to each other, and the idea of the honeymoon forever, you know, in my book, we talk about the honeymoon period. A lot of people, a lot of folks out there know what the honeymoon period is. It's that first phase when we meet up with potential special other, and we, you know, kind of take off in our intimacy and learning about this person. And, you know, the honeymoon period, it's many times it's gotten a bad rap, as if it's just some kind of mindless phase of meeting someone in kind of a high. And, you know, it can be, of course, but there's so much more to it. My whole idea is that the honeymoon period is a stepping stone to a longer-lasting kind of relationship. And even though honeymoon periods can somewhat wane and ebb and flow, I really believe that there is this idea, and a spiritual idea of the honeymoon forever, that love can last eternally.
That I do. And so what are the ways or suggestions to keep love alive? What do you do? It's like, you know, follow the yellow brick road or the breadcrumbs, you know, to the gingerbread house. What can somebody do to have that reality?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's a real journey, and it has to be a conscious journey with full intention and, you know, coming together with another person and working at it. Number one, the biggest point here is that, you know, a lot of people think, honeymoon periods and relationships, they should just naturally flow without conflict, without problems, and it's just not true. It takes a lot of hard, intentional work with self and mutually with that special other for it to really, really flow into decades and decades of true love and partnership, and it takes commitment. So there, it's really not such a secret. You know, the secret to it all is putting it all together. And, you know, my book, you know, looks at relationships through the lens of culture, biology, gender, sexuality, and really looking at it from all different angles, and then learning to integrate it into one's life so that we can better manifest it on many different levels. And once we have that understanding, we've done work on ourselves, then we can join together with another in very healthy ways.
That's so spectacular. Can you give me an example from the book of what that's like when you talk about different genders or different backgrounds or how that can affect our life or our love or our future?
Well, I mean, there's just so many ways to look at it, you know, biologically, you know, to really understand the biology of attraction. And I used Helen Fisher. She's one of the really well-known people in the area of biological attraction. You know, just to know all these areas, the culture of love I talk about and how our Western society views love, true love versus infatuation, just looking at it in so many different ways. In the book, I even have a conversation back and forth. You know, I've researched a lot of couples, mostly in the L.A. area, also in the New Mexico area, and we really see that just we have to have a consciousness that understands our culture, understands the trends in our culture, understands the view of love through the centuries, understanding that fantasy kind of thinking that really blocks us, that can block us from true intimacy. And when I really see and I really observe a lot of these Facebook pages, or I look at a lot of the articles and relationship sites, so much of it is fantasy, frankly, fantasy thinking. And you were talking about, you know, when I was a little boy or whatever, and, you know, little girls have these ideas of what true love is, and, you know, all the way from the fairy tales, and, you know, it just goes on and on. And what I'm really trying to do with this book and a lot of my blogs is to have integrity in what I'm doing and really express more of the truth of at least my opinion of how I really see it in relationships, how they're really moving in our society, and to try to do something about a lot of that fantasy thinking, you know, oh, she's the one, he'll never leave me, you know, all this kind of fantasy thinking. And I think we need to debunk certain ideas, and we need to just embrace a lot of what intimacy is truly about, and not just part of what we might want to believe it's about. I mean, a lot of learning. I try to elucidate, you know, what's going on in the relationship scene of today. I talk about online dating. I talk about addiction. I talk about relationship addiction. I talk about love addiction. I talk about general addiction and how it can really block us from finding the true intimacy. There's so much, Nicole. There's so much here. It's just so hard to just look at one little aspect. It's just a whole,
well then,
I don't know, gestalt.
Then I'm going to pull something out of what you just said. True love versus infatuation. So let's talk about true love versus infatuation, because that's a really good subject on the Super Bowl Sunday when so many people are going to the game or having parties or doing whatever to try to please their man or
this
to
is
be part
a good
of the
idea,
day.
A good
so, yes.
way to kick off our discussion. Football
so
illusion.
Talk to me about the true love versus infatuation.
Yeah. You know, and one of the great writers and psychotherapists of our time, Scott Peck, you know, I don't know if you remember that classic
book, The Road Less Traveled,
and all the other spin-off books and his writing. And he really, I love what he writes about, you know, the notion of true love. And how it's really based in reality or just emotions, unbridled emotions. And he talks about true love as really, you know, his definition really being something akin to being of great support to the other's dreams. You know, he really describes love as being a support and really understanding the other's dreams and what they want to manifest in their life. And just being a person who can help just be a support to all that versus falling in love. You know, the idea of infatuation of, oh, I met this girl at the party. She's so fantastic. I'm in love. We're going to get married. You know, here comes that fantasy thinking again. And I think a lot of what infatuation and those first few weeks of getting to know somebody, you know, true love takes time. It takes time to build up time with each other. And, you know, when the honeymoon period has to really move along into a time where reality also sets in, where two people look at each other and says, you know, who's going to take out the trash today? You know, who's going to do this? Who's going to take the kids here? Who's going to take them there? You know? And true love is all about dealing with day-to-day reality as opposed to that first early time when we first meet somebody. I think true love takes time to really, really develop and experience, and it takes time.
Can you deepen a relationship? You know, when you talk about honeymoon forever, if somebody's been married 5 years or 10 years or 25 years, can they make the relationship even better and even stronger? Are there tools or techniques or ways to actually keep that love alive or re-spark that love?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I talk a lot in my book about the spiritual idea of recreating love, recreating the relationship, dealing with the relationship on a day-to-day basis as if it's the first day of our relationship together. Constantly renewing the spark of love. And it's all about time and building trust and more trust and bringing love and caring and doing those little things for each other and understanding each other and being open to what the other person is all about and to just keep recreating this every single day and, you know, learning relationship conflict resolution, because there's always going to be conflict and working through those conflicts in a healthy way. And, there's just so much to it, to keep rekindling the relationship, to keep rekindling the partnership. It has to be worked on a day-to-day basis and keep that fantasy thinking out of there.
You know, I've got a question. I know that your first book, you know, is a romantic comedy, and I know as a therapist that you've had the opportunity to talk to so many people and listen to so many relationships. Do you find humor in the relationships, or do you think that humor or play is important in a relationship?
Absolutely. There was kind of a leading comment there. Yes, humor. Humor is great. You know, humor is critical to any relationship to keep that spark alive. And if you have the humor, it's going to be playful. I think there's a time for seriousness, confrontation at times, and a time for really getting down to what's really going on with each person, because I believe a relationship is always me, you, and then the relationship. And, yeah, absolutely, to inject humor and playfulness. I mean, it's all about the joy, and that's what relationships, I believe, should be about. And those are definite tools to keeping the spark going, keep the humor going. Got to have the humor. You don't have the humor, what do you have? You have two people staring at each other, just being too serious, and these are the kind of things without the humor that can break apart really, really hopeful, good relationships. You got to have it all. It's hard work.
Now, we had Yakov Smirnoff on, and Yakov was saying that it's not about making people laugh, but he was saying that the deeper your intimacy, that things become funny. That the more trust and the more love, the more fun, the more play, and the more humor actually enters the relationship. And I'm not really sure. Do you believe that the same way?
Absolutely. Yaakov and I believe absolutely the same idea. I've done a little stand-up comedy in the past, and that's been a service to others, I think. And I don't do stand-up comedy with, people that I might date, but, you know, I wind it in there. I wind it in there, you know, the humor and keeping it light and laughing together and having a great time and just having that a part of the whole relationship. I mean, that's really no secret either. Again, I think it's just really keeping consciousness alive when you're dealing with another and having full intention. It's about commitment, the humor, spiritual side. I'm another believer that that spirituality has to be a part, or usually a part of any long-lasting relationship.
Such a good answer. And now I have a very special question for you, because of all the relationship experts that we've interviewed, and certainly, you know, you were just so versed in every area of relationship, but you're the very first person that I ever met that the very first thing you talked about was not your expertise in your relationships, but it was about your daughter. And your love for your daughter. And so is it the same when you're a father and you have a little girl? Are you constantly thinking of ways to keep that relationship alive or move it forward? Or how does that work as a dad?
Oh, that was so sweet of you to inject that into our Super Bowl Sunday conversation. Absolutely. My daughter teaches me about love, teaches me about relationship, teaches me about what true love is really all about. You know, she's only 8 years old, and as we go through the years together, she has taught me so much about intimacy, at least child intimacy, father-daughter intimacy, and absolutely that has taught me so much about keeping the connection going, keeping a healthy connection going, keeping my spiritual connection with her going. And she has really taught me so much about love and intimacy. And really, you know, it's not some kind of laboratory thing. And as far as expertise, I mean, so much of what I know comes from my day-to-day experiences and what I've learned from friends, what I've learned from you know, my parents, they're wonderful people, and they really show me what love is all about. I see it with the couples that I would counsel. And so much of it is just life experience, and it's all about the connection, all about my relationship with the other, whether it's a child, family, friends, intimate relationship. It's all the same thing. It's all the same flow of love, you know, universal love, and that's what I believe it's about. And when I can really experience and also experience it with myself, that self-love, and do those things, that can really solidify my positive regard for myself. I can bring it out into the universe, and I do that with my child on a daily basis, and hopefully with all the people I come in contact with in my life.
Do you share your expertise with her? I mean, in a childlike way on relationships and on sharing and the things that you teach? I mean, do you dial it down, or is it important to you, all the things that you've learned from all your counseling sessions and all that you teach in your writings, that be instilled in her as well?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's great that we're really talking about my daughter and my relationship with her as her father, and how, yeah, I never really thought of it that much about adult relationships and child relationships, but it's all kind of a variation on the same theme, and that's putting myself out there to really connect. It's about connection with my daughter on that kind of father-daughter level. With my friends on that kind of agape friendship, you know, platonic level. It's about my relationship with my folks and how I deal with them, especially as the aging process really sets in, more their aging than mine. But, you know, it's all about my connection and how I relate to them, but I have to do it and really be conscious about doing it in a very healthy, very, very healthy, loving, compassionate way, as opposed to, you know, just, I don't know, you know, not taking it seriously and not really keeping all, you know, in my mind, it's about connection. It's about the connection. It's about healthy connection and how I can, I don't know how to say it, maybe take my high regard for myself, my love for myself, and be able to share that with others. Yeah, that's the best way to say it.
That's just amazing to me. And then,
I hope I'm making
sense here.
I
know all the time when I meet people, and I will meet men that will inevitably say something to me that is so astonishing or so wrong or so raw or so... And I'm always mesmerized when somebody says something, and I'm always humored. And I'm always appreciative, because as a writer, I'm always like, thank you so much for saying that to me, because I never would have come up with that on my own.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that people think like that. But now that I know people think like that, I can create characters that think like that. And when people come in for counseling, have there been times where people have sat in front of you that you were just blown away, that that's how people saw relationships or what they thought?
Oh, yeah. What blows me away is how varied people relate to each other in relationships, and what they think about relationships, what they think about how they're supposed to go, how they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to manifest in the world. And a lot of times I come up against a lot of the common gender stereotypes about men and women, and I try to really talk to them about those kind of things. And we talk in a societal way about where society's at, about relationships. And, you know, relationships can be, you know, so different depending on, you know, where you're living, you know, the politics of the area. There's a lot of socio-political aspects to relationships these days, I believe. You know, there's just so much. You know, when you look at the stereotypes and, you know, sometimes men come in, you know, and they, They just speak about, you know, in controlling kind of ways, and some will come in and they're much more compassionate and understanding, and, you know, there's certain keys to what I feel are good for partnerships, and that will keep them long lasting and keeping intimacy alive. And so much of what I do is, you know, educational things. Not that I think I know everything about relationships. I mean, I've had my different relationships in my life, and I like to think I've learned from them, and I like to think I learned from my clients and people I come in contact with and couples that I come in contact with and that I've interviewed over the years. It's a big learning process for me.
And when do people come to you? Do they come to you when they're in trouble or before they're getting married, or do they come to you to deepen the relationship? At what point does somebody seek and search you out?
Well, they come for all, you know, reasons, Nicole. You know, I would say mostly, unfortunately, when they're already in trouble, when they're already feeling like a relationship could be slipping away, or my partner is acting differently. What can I say to her? What can I say to him? You know, I always try to find out, are you two trying to stay together? Are you trying to work your way out of this relationship? Are you trying to build a better marriage? I mean, they just come to me for so many reasons. I'm a big believer that counseling, at least done in a humanistic kind of way, where we're not just looking for psychopathology, but we're looking to see what's going right with the relationship, what kind of things are of concern, how can we make this better, how can we come up with some solutions to present conflicts. That's the kind of counseling that I like to do, not the kind where, you know, I'm just putting out fires trying to figure out what's going here and trying to do some conflict resolution. And, you know, I like to bring the spirituality into it. So couples come to me with all different ways of being and all different concerns, and I just try to, you know, meet them at their, you know, map of the world and try to help them come up with solutions or ways to better their relationship, and sometimes how to break the relationship in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm. You care so much about people, and even when I met you, there's such a deep level of care, and there's such a joyousness at the same time. There's such an ease of anything's possible, let it all go, and so I can see how wonderful it would be to do counseling sessions with you and to be able to do that. And then when people come in, are you the same as I am when somebody comes in with a crazy story or a crazy problem? Do you immediately think, gosh, I want to write about this. This would be fabulous as a story.
Yeah, usually as an afterthought. You know, after a session or whatever, I'm sitting there and I'm going, first of all, wow, what a story I just heard. You know, of course, I have to keep it confidential, and I got to change names and all that. But when I'm in a session, really, I'm really there for them. I'm trying to be present for them. I'm trying to understand their story. I'm trying to deal with them. Again, you know, where they're at, their map of the world. And honestly, you know, after the session is when I start thinking about, oh, this is a great plot. This I got to put in another book here. Or this I have to blog about or whatever session. I'm pretty much, you know, just there with them and really trying to deal with what they bring to me during the session.
I'm glad you mentioned your blog. Can you talk about your blog for a bit? And also, I know that you have a Facebook page, and I want you to give all the information to the audience so they can jump on your forums.
Oh, yeah, Nicole. Sure. Basically, you know, part of the book, I am working on, you know, I've got to market the book, and it's an e-book, and the site is www.honeymoon-forever.com. Forever, got to get that dash in there, forever.com. So www.honeymoon-forever.com. And on that site, there's one part of it is a lot of blogging that I've done, a lot of articles that I've written. I must have about 25 to 30 articles. I post three at a time, but you can go into the archive and see all the examples or the blogs that I have already written. And they're on all sorts of spin-off subjects. I'm having a ball writing about all these aspects of relationships. And, you know, I'll have a blog on communication, better communication, fantasy thinking and how that can block intimacy in our life. I write about addiction. I write about love addiction. I write about just so many subjects, rekindling trust in relationship, sometimes related to holidays and gratitude. I wrote one about gratitude and Thanksgiving. And I just write on so many different subjects. And sometimes I'll write a blog and in relationship to somebody else's blog that I read, and I'll give my two cents for what it's worth, and try to just write about all these different subjects that also come up from the different chapters in my book, Culture of Love, The Genesis of Love, The Honeymoon Period, you know, A New Paradigm, Meeting People, Asking the Right Questions When You Meet Someone.
How exciting.
Talking about relationship compatibility.
Amazing.
And all those kind of things, yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you say addicted to love, you know, I always think about the song Addicted to Love. As soon as you hear it,
all
of a sudden the song starts
sure.
to sing in my head. Can people be addicted to love? Is that a real thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How
lot
do you get
of
addicted to love?
Well, it's just, I mean, addiction, you know, the really destructive part of addiction is that it has life damaging consequences. There's nothing wrong with wanting to see your partner and talking to them and being with them a lot and making them part of your day-to-day existence. But the problem comes when it starts to become obsessional, when it starts to be compulsive, when it starts to be unhealthy that way, when it's not really about love, but it could be about neediness. It could be about general unhealthy attitudes toward what a relationship needs to be. In a relationship, I believe, needs to have a lot of non-compulsivity, non-obsessional thinking. It's got to be healthy. That's the only way that love is going to last. That's the only way that there can really be a stage set for a honeymoon forever. And just like any other addictive process, whether it's in drugs, alcohol, yeah, you can unfortunately use and learn to use somebody as a fix, as a person that you look toward to fill an emptiness inside yourself. Maybe you're not liking yourself too much and you feel you need someone to give you those compliments, to, you know, looking outside of yourself. That's what addiction is all about, looking outside of yourself to fill something that's missing inside oneself. So if you're looking toward another to fulfill yourself in those kind of ways and you start getting compulsive about it, needy, and, you know, attaching on to someone in a symbiotic way, an unhealthy way, or where you're taking somebody as a hostage in a relationship, you're going to run into a lot of, you know, with their unhealthiness. It can happen, you know, with a partner, and love ceases and addiction starts filling the vacuum, and that equals non-intimacy, and that's the dark side of what can be hopeful and exciting love. Can turn into a nightmare, unfortunately. And it does a lot in our society. And this addiction to love is many times overlooked in our society. And it's really unfortunate. And I do try to bring more awareness to what this addiction, this addictiveness is all about. That's even one chapter of my book.
That's great. That's so profound. And it's amazing because I hear it, and right away my mind goes to the song, and it becomes fun and joyful, and, you know, your body starts dancing. Not just the idea, but the thought is really not so joyful. And the fact that it's really true, like you're saying, the same as somebody can be, you know, addicted to chocolate cake or cigarettes or whatever that is, that there's that, this addiction that's unhealthy for your body. And I know that you also had mentioned abuse and trust. And we had one of our shows, Melissa Terry was on, How to Free Yourself for Joy, and she was talking about if you've been raped or abused, how you trust love. And is that a big part of the Honeymoon Forever, trusting?
Absolutely. It's a huge part. And so many individuals come into therapy, or just with friends when they describe their relationships. You know, there's unhealthy ways of dealing with it and looking at this stuff, and very healthy ways of looking at relationships. And it's really, really important to, you know, the past really comes into it a lot. You know, people bring their trauma, their hurt, their abuse into the current relationship, and so much needs to be dealt with, the traumas, all those kind of things. And it's really important that folks come into relationships by seeing their prospective partner for who they are and not some kind of repeat from past abuse. And it's very, very important that we get a hold of and look at and be able to move on from past abuses, past dysfunctionality, past family problems, family relationships. Unfortunately, so many of us bring a lot of this, frankly, addictiveness and unhealthiness and unhealthy patterns into our current relationships. And it's so important for us to deal with it so that we can move on from it. And then we can see our prospective partner more clearly, and we can really embark on that journey to a honeymoon forever, a true one. It doesn't encompass fantasy thinking or unhealthy thinking.
I'm so sorry. I'm actually at a Super Bowl event, and so people are everywhere. It's so funny. We did a show once on travel, and the show that we did on travel, Sydney Cressy, who was like the luxury destination person, that the pinnacle, the cherry on the sundae in travel around the world. And we booked her show months and months and months in advance. And the day she called, she was at the America's Cup. And she was running in between speakers trying to get a clear sound. And they were calling the game behind her, and we thought, how perfect that it would be the America's Cup. And, you know, it was just a perfect show. And it's so funny because today I'm at a remote location, and I'm actually at this huge Super Bowl event, and they've set up for me to be able to be on the show today. And I think that that's just so appropriate that as we're talking there, it was interesting because all these women were just coming in to the studio in which I'm working out of as we were talking, obviously away from the men and away from the setup of the game and away from the pool, and they're out wandering about on the property.
Well, it's fun. I think that's great. I heard the people, you know, moving in the background, talking in the background, and I was thinking, oh, sounds like fun. Sounds like you're at the Super Bowl or something, having a good time. I'm just kind of sitting at home right now and, you know, enjoying the quiet and everything, but I'll probably go to a Super Bowl get-together a little bit later and enjoy it and really observe all the interactions between the people as well. That's what interests me more than the game, frankly.
Yes, and can you just for a minute talk about this Super Bowl Sunday and the aspect, or whether it be a football or baseball or that somebody is off playing pool or motocross racing, is it important for people to have their own things, like their own lives or their own hobbies or their own joy? Should we be doing everything together?
Yes, I believe we should do everything together, every single minute of every single day. No, of course not. And I think it's great that the guys, you know, hey, I'm into sports. I'm a real baseball fan. I tend to be more into baseball, and I play a lot of competitive tennis, and I really enjoy it. But, you know, I enjoy the sport scenes with the guys, and it's fun. And really, when I go to Super Bowl parties in the past, you know, men and women are all there. But, you know, guys need their little cave of sports or whatever it might be, or the hobbies, and women need their things to be able to do. And I like it when, you know, we can come together and enjoy the same kind of things. I think it's great. But, yeah, I mean, back to that, there's you, there's me, then there's the relationship. It's so important for each individual in a relationship to have their life, have the things they like, you know, whether it's hobbies, the things they like to do, the kinds of movies they like to do, getting together with friends, going on a weekend jaunt with the girls, whatever they need to do, whatever a partner needs to do, it's really important to honor and respect their space and what they need to be doing. And there's nothing worse than attaching on to a relationship that becomes a closed system, what we call a closed system, where there's this glomming on. And, you know, huge red flag when I see couples glomming on to each other and, you know, having to go on every single trip together, every 12-step meeting, it just becomes like icky, you know. It's just so unhealthy. And I'm a firm believer in really letting people have the space that they need so that when you come back together, it's great and you enjoy that connection even more.
Oh, that's just such wonderful advice. And should people also learn the sport? I mean, is it important to, if it's important to your guy or to your girl, to learn and be part of that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, the more you can share in healthy ways, the better, whatever it is, whether it's sports or, the kind of songs, the kind of music venues you like to go to. I think it's great that everybody has different tastes, and we just have to honor that in the other, and our special other, our partners, and realize that, you know, we weren't made in a cookie-cutter fashion, but we were made to express ourselves individually. What's so great about relationships is you can share that individuality together. So if somebody wants to do yoga, somebody wants to do sports, you want to do things together, separately, it's just so important to let yourself and the other breathe and have their own space when they need it. What was that old saying from the 60s? When we meet, you have your life, I have mine, and when we meet, it's beautiful. Or I can't remember exactly, I'm paraphrasing it, but the idea that you have your life, I have mine, and then we have our lives together, and all three aspects really have to be honored and followed on a daily basis, then you got yourself a chance for that honeymoon forever.
And what does the word honeymoon mean to you?
That's a great question. I like that question. Honeymoon, I think there was something in literature I read about what honeymoons are, you know, the moon, when you look at the moon, and there is a notion of the honeymoon. And I just, you know, that's a great question. I'm going to have to think about that more. But it's just that rising moon, that beautiful shining moon, and the hope that comes with it, and future, you know, hopes and dreams, and I think it has a lot to do with that. When you combine honeymoon and forever, it's really powerful, and it's very spiritual, and it really has a lot of impact. I certainly didn't coin the phrase honeymoon. Maybe honeymoon forever. I'm not even sure about that. But that idea of hope and dreams and that spiritual basis for what could be and what can be. And then when you talk about that relationship with that other special person, I mean, it's beautiful. What else would you want, you know?
That's such a great answer. I just absolutely love it. And Rob, tell us once more, for people to work with you, do they email you? Do they call you? Do they go to your website?
They can go to my website. I just basically have a number that I do put out there. And, you know, I do have a private practice. I also work in conjunction with other therapists in a really nice group here in Santa Fe called Earth Spirit Awakening. And we do all sorts of work with couples, individually. So I work on my own, and I love to join together in running groups and, having all sorts of in-services and interesting things happening. I work better in relationship with others. That's why I like working with families and groups and couples, with other therapists. Again, that's, you know, a way that I manifest my belief that it's all about connection. It's all about our relationships with each other. And I think a huge healing quality in any malady or problem or conflict is keeping that connection in mind. Connection is so healing. And in the end, I think it's all about our alliance with others, alliance with ourselves, and those that are God-centered, alliance with God, alliance with universal oneness, universalism, whatever, universal consciousness, whatever it might be. You've got to have that connection. When we lose connection, that's where we get into trouble with ourselves and with others.
What a beautiful answer. Thank you so much for going there, and thank you so much for your expertise. So honeymoon dash forever. The dash is important.
Yeah.
And
honeyforever.com. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I can give out my number for those that would like to contact me.
Yes,
I'm
totally
please. Open to
I
it.
Think that would be wonderful. Yes.
It's area code 505. That's a New Mexico area code. 930-1477. And I'd love to hear, you know, feedback about the books, my novel with pretty soon with a little coffee table humor book called Cops Live on Donuts and Laws Mercy Never Thought Of. And they're life laws. They're all these ironic, what I like to think is truisms or, you know, humorous little statements with little caricatures and things like that. And so I love, you know, writing about humor, writing about relationships, writing about, you know, and satirical writing as well. And I just love the whole writing process, but I really love to hear what's most important is the feedback from others and, you know, what they vibe with, what they relate to, what they like, what they didn't like. I'm totally open to feedback, Nicole.
That's great, and I'm sure that you're just going to be swamped now, swarming with calls. You're so generous with truly your wisdom, your knowledge, your expertise, your talent, your time. I mean, you have so much. The wealth of information is just incredible. And even when you're listing all the chapters in the book, it's sort of like mind-boggling and saying, oh, my gosh, this is all relate. But it is all relationships. And it is, even as you were talking about, it's a relationship with ourselves and to each other. And so we are so grateful that on this auspicious Super Bowl Sunday, and here
Super Bowl
I am
Sunday.
At Here I am at this incredible Super Bowl party with all of these people marching through the studio, and it's fabulous to have all this energy, the feminine energy, and all of the men that are listening to the show today as well, and all of you who are downloading the show after Super Bowl Sunday and just couldn't miss this information from Robert Kaufman and Honeymoon Forever and How to Keep Your Love Alive. And it's such a privilege and an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show and have you come into my life. And once again, thank you for the incredible gift book and the music, and you just are such a talent, and we're so grateful you were with us today. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm honored to be able to come on to your show, and thanks so much for inviting me, and hopefully everybody, including me, we've learned something new today that we can apply to our lives in loving and compassionate ways. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. We look forward to seeing you again, and Robert Kaufman, thank you. Honeymoon Forever.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Extraordinary guest. It is Super Bowl Sunday here in the United States. We are talking about Honeymoon Forever with Robert Kaufman and How to Keep Your Love Alive. Incredible secrets, tips, wisdoms, wonderful pearls of, and definitely a book to go through and learn about the vast, vast, vast ways that relationships can be improved, brought to higher intimacy levels, and really brought to a joyous, blissful level of really living that honeymoon forever. We have so many exciting shows coming up for you. I can't wait. We're talking about deeper sexual intimacy, which of course is a topic I can't wait to talk about, and we are talking from the passion test on how to follow your passion and your dreams and so much more. So we look forward to having you here next week. I wish you all a happy Super Bowl Sunday, and if you are not watching the game, may you win at life, and may your happily ever after come true. Nicole Brandon from Hourglass Bride. We will see you next week. And Robert Kaufman, brilliant. Thank you again.